football is back in town.
Boots on the volley! And what a goal!
Unbelievable piece of football.
It's Wes Morgan again!
Body! As you like.
There's just nothing other than sublime.
Live on lcfc.com, Facebook and Twitter. You're listening to Extra Time on LCFC Radio.
Yes, welcome along to LCFC Radio's Extra Time here on a Monday evening, of course, with me, Dan Bates. We've got Tony Cotty via the telephone this evening, and in the studio here, we've got Jerry Taggart and Steve Walsh. Are you happy the football's back, guys?
Absolutely. It seems like a long, long time ago before the Wolves game came around.
And we've it's good to be back, it is. You know, when you're looking now, it's 12 games to go, 50 points in the bag. Good away point. Great.
Yeah, you look like a happy man.
I'm all right, yeah.
Tony as well, over the phone. Did you have a nice weekend? What game did you cover?
Oh, good question.
I know. Ipswich. Yeah, how you doing, TC?
Right, TC.
Evening, Walsh.
I seen you on Saturday watching Sky Sports News. You were at Ipswich. Soccer Saturday even.
I'm glad you can remember, Doug. Yeah. I was struggling to remember where I was there. I actually had a few goals as well. It was 4-1 to Ipswich, so it was a good game.
Perfect. Right, coming up on the show this evening, we'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, Ricardo Pereira, Johnny Evans. We'll assess that draw with Wolves. We'll talk about the art of defending as well and how much defenders love to keep clean sheets. We'll look at the Champions League games that take place this week as well as the other Premier League games that took place at the weekend. Of course, we've got our weekend trivias and last Fox standing throughout. So those of you listening, do get involved in those and get your comments and suggestions in as well, and any questions you may have for the panel. Jerry, though, we'll start with you and that draw on Friday at Wolves. Because looking back now, that was a good point, you have to say, do you think, for Leicester?
I think overall, you know, when you listen to Brendan's comments after the game, which, you know, something I always do, and I think, you know, Brendan was pretty honest about, you know, his assessment of the game. So you take everything into consideration. Obviously, myself and Steve watched the game from the studio here. You'd have to say it's a fair point. You know, the players, the team weren't, you know, at their best, but they ground out a really important result against, you know, we heard Matt in his pre-match, you know, commentary that, you know, it was about, you know, pulling away from Wolves or stopping them getting closer to Leicester, and that's another team mile away. So they've gone some way to doing that by, you know, going away from home and picking up a point.
Yeah, it was a good point, as Jerry was saying there. And you think about it, Wolves have been very good lately. They'll have been buoyed by the fact that they were at home and Leicester went there. And we'll hear from Brendan Rodgers, as I said, in just a little bit of time. He said that Leicester were the better team in the first half, pretty much until the VAR moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look back now and look at the way that Wolves set up, this, you know, they played very, very deep. And it's not easy when you're playing against a team like that who are, you know, they're a very fit team, they work hard, you know, he's got them really, really firing them. And, you know, I think there's a few teams looked a little bit jaded from the break. It just, you know, momentum's a big thing. And but I think that break, we needed it with the way that the, you know, the injuries and things like that. I think, you know, when you look back now, but no, it's a great point. And when you look at the table, they're still in a really great position. It's another game gone because 12 games now to go. You're really, you know, they're disappearing, these games now. And yeah, so I'm quite pleased with the point.
Yeah, Tony, something that Brendan Rodgers says a lot is that if you can't win a game, make sure you don't lose it. And really, that's clearly the attitude Leicester had in that second half, particularly once they had the sending off.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, you can't always play well in every game. As we've said many, many times on this show, it's been an outstanding season so far. And you look at the point, I mean, it keeps the gap between Leicester and Wolves at 14 points. You know, if you lose that game, it's 10 points. And, you know, that's a massive difference, absolutely massive difference. So, you know, coming off the game, yeah, of course you want to play well. Of course you want to get the 3 points. But sometimes you can't do that. But, you know, if you're not playing particularly well or if it's not quite happening, just grab a point. You get a point. All right, 0-0 wasn't the best game in the world, but it's a really, really good point. And it's another point to help to try and get into those European places.
When you involve Tony in a game like that, where the team that you're in as a forward maybe doesn't see as much of the ball as you want, but every single one of the 10 or the 11 that were out on that pitch puts in a shift and gets a really hard-earned point away from home, how good is the mood in the dressing room after a game?
Well, the mood's fantastic, Dan, because you know that you've gained a point. You don't come off feeling that you've lost 2 points. You know, when it doesn't quite go for you, you come in. And sometimes, you know, you can get as much satisfaction, in a funny way, with a really good draw, as opposed to sometimes when you win the game. Sometimes you win games, you don't play very well. And although you won the game and you're pleased, you know you could do a lot better. But sometimes when it all comes together, you work hard as a team. From a forwards point of view, I mean, it was one of those games. It must have been horrible for Jamie Vardy. It really must, because you're running your socks off, you're working hard for the team, but nothing's happening. You get very little sniff at goal. I used to hate games like that as a forward, because you know that they're not really gonna play to your strengths, because it's not that type of game. But what you have to do is you have to contribute to the team. You have to work hard. You have to put defenders under pressure. And that's exactly what Jamie did, exactly what the rest of the team did. And that's why I say, in that dressing room, they would have been really satisfied, I think, with that point.
Yeah, Harry Townsend on Facebook says, great point. And a nice message from Harry as well. He says, third in the table, still in the FA Cup, League Cup semi-final, of course. He'd take that any day, hopeful for a Champions League spot next season. Rodgers has well and truly changed this side. Which is a nice message, of course, Jerry, to hear. And going away to Wolves like that, you saw what happened in, I think it was like the January, February time, the 4-3, it was a crazy game. Yeah, so to then go there and just keep a clean sheet and keep
it. I think that was probably the most surprising thing. You know, I don't think anybody would have been surprised at a draw. I think the most surprising thing that it was actually a 0-0. You know, if you look at the last two times Leicester have played Wolves in the Premier League, it's been 4-3 at Wolves. Mm. Two Wolves. But it's two good teams basically just cancelled each other out. Right? And as I said, if it had been a 3-3, I went for 3-3. I said 1-1 only because Elliot went 2-2 and I wanted to go 2-2. So the two good teams have literally cancelled each other out, right? Which probably would have been, you know, the favourite scoreline amongst a lot of people. But it's just the surprising part was it actually ended 0-0 and there was no goals.
And you know what? We showed, for me, a real resilience, you know, 10 men for 15 minutes as well. You know, you've got to take that into consideration. Dealt with it really well. And there were bodies there. You see some of the tackles, Soyuncu, that last ditch block that got deflected over. Unbelievable. So that showed me that they've got that character, they've got that resilience to see a game out of that magnitude. And yet, like I said, how they set up was a frustrating day, really, in a sense, for, like, say, Jamie Vardy. But we know what to expect. And, you know, I think tactically, it was a tactical battle game that was from the two managers who saw it out.
I think that's a good point Steve makes. You know, Wolves, who were the home team, literally set up like their away team and just literally played on the counter.
But that's the only way they can deal with Vardy. They've seen what he can do. You're going to start that way. And then it's up to Vardy to use that cleverness. But, you know, don't forget, the game that we play now, towards when we won the title, we didn't have much possession. Now, we are a team that gets the majority of the possession now because we play through the thirds and we play some fantastic football at times. So it's a little bit delayed to get up to Vardy, you know, because it's the final third. But he's got to be patient, and he has been. Yet he's bound to be a little bit frustrated, you know, because we didn't, you know, create enough chances for him. But
it's
still,
a great compliment
for
Leicester, I think, Walsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that Wolves actually set up like that.
You know, absolutely.
They've got enough firepower in their team. They've got some really good players, good forward players. And, you know, really, you would expect them to come out all guns blazing, take the game to Leicester, but they didn't. They dropped off to nullify Leicester. So what a great compliment that is for everything that everyone at Leicester's tried to achieve this year, that a team as good as Wolves has thought, you know what, we're going to try and play this as an away game rather than as a home game.
One of the things that everyone, Jerry, was looking before the game was about Adama Traore, wasn't it? And what that battle may be on the right-hand side. But no matter what, Wolves have got great players across that front line. And as Tony was just alluding to there, the fact that they did then set up a little bit differently to what they normally would pays such a big compliment to Brendan Rodgers' side.
No, absolutely. I think, you know, when you go through the recent form, then, you know, it's good management from Wolves. It's as simple as that, to set up that way. They can't afford to lose it. It's a bigger game for Wolves than it is for Leicester. They're obviously relying on their pace going forward on the counter-attack. But, you know, barring one or two set pieces, you know, Leicester cope admirably with what Wolves had to throw at them. You know, I think their main threat on the night came from set pieces, Wolves. So for them to set up as the away team at home, defending deep, making sure that Vardy doesn't get in behind, making sure that, you know, the wide players didn't get in behind, because obviously they will highlight it that Harvey Barnes is another player who's in great form. You know, so they would have watched, you know, a lot of videotape as regards to Harvey Barnes, Ayoze Perez as well, not just Jamie Vardy. And also they dropped Moutinho and brought Dan Donker in to do a job on Madison. So, you know, that's, you just tell it, as far as Wolves are concerned, they spent a lot of time on trying to nullify Leicester going forward. So sometimes you just got to take your hat off and say they've done a good job at it.
Yeah, a point for Leicester City on Friday evening. Let's get the verdict then from the Leicester dressing room and the tunnel at Molineux at full time. This is Brendan Rodgers, Ricardo Pereira and Johnny Evans.
Over the course of the first half, we were the better side and looked a greater threat. Second half, as you'd expect, they came out and looked to sort of impose their way a little bit more. And then obviously we go down to 10 men with 20 minutes to go. So, but I thought we showed a great courage tonight, and that was the determination that I think that hasn't quite been there in the team over these last numbers of weeks. It's a different courage. You know, there's a courage with the ball, and then you have to show that grit and determination without it. So for the last 20 minutes with 10 men, I thought it was a brilliant piece of defending, and I think it has really set us up now for this remainder of the season.
Yeah, they have a very good team, good players. They play together for, I think, third year, and it's difficult to overrule them. It's difficult to exploit the space behind them because they defend in a low block. It's difficult to find space. We have to be patient. We didn't get a lot of chance, but I think with a little bit more luck, we could score.
I think when you go down to 10 men, you're always going to be under pressure. And yeah, I suppose looking back on it, you know, seeing the game out like that, especially when they bring, like, you know, Traore on at the end, you know, your legs are already tired. We go down to 10 men to bring him on, and you know, he really forces you to defend. I thought we did that well, defended the box, and you know, I think we can be pleased, like I say, with that point and, you know, the performance, clean sheet.
You're listening to Extra Time, live on LCFC Radio. Your place for all the reaction to the weekend's football.
Yes, that was the voice there of Brendan Rodgers, Ricardo Pereira and finally Johnny Evans after the game on Friday. Johnny there, Jerry, was referencing Adama Traore, of course. We've had a message from Craig on Facebook. He says that thought Chilwell did well and stopped the human machine well, which it was all the talk, wasn't it, before the game about Traore. And when he came on, you worried for Leicester because he had obviously had the fresh legs, but they did defend him very well. Obviously, he managed to get a few crosses in, but they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, it's not, I suppose when you come up against a player like Traore, who on, in any given game or in any given scenario, it has the capability of becoming unplayable because he's so quick and so quick off the mark. I think he got, there was one or two crosses he got in that he literally, it's like one, two, three little short steps and the ball's coming in the box. So if you can't stop the cross, then you have to make sure you're doing your job correctly in the danger zone, in and around the six-yard box, in and around the penalty box. And that was a pleasing bit. That when he did get the crosses in, you know, Leicester made sure they were in good positions to stop Wolves from getting any shots on target or scoring any goals?
I think it's dead easy to take it, you know, with Traore. We'd have handled him, Jerry, because yeah. I'd have had Chilwell tight, just tell him to push the ball past him, and then we just clean him out when he goes past him, and that's it. It's easy to see, isn't
it? I knew that was coming, Wolfie. Yeah.
What kind of player do you think he is like to play against, Tony? Because when he came on, Wolves' first thought was whether they had it in the left-back area, the left midfield area, can we switch it? Can we get it to Traore early?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think he excites the Wolves fans. I must admit, as a neutral, when I've watched him play this season, I think he's been absolutely outstanding. Over the last sort of couple of years, when he sort of first came into the team, I think the big question mark for him was, you know, end product. Mm. It's all right being quick. You know, you can be one of the quickest players in the Premier League, but if you're crossing the ball behind the goal or giving the ball away, and there wasn't an end product, but he's brought the end product to his game this year. And that's why it was such a worry. When he came on, you know that they're going to get the ball to him, just get him to run the ball, put the crosses in, and there's been an end product from him this season. So, you know, he was a threat when he came on. And, you know, as the boy said, I think we just defended really, really well. Some outstanding defensive performances.
Yeah, credit obviously has to go to Ben Chilwell on that left-hand side, but Harvey Barnes tracked well, didn't he? As did James Maddison, I think, in particular, when Hamza Chowdhury was sent off.
I think that, you know, what Ben Chilwell's got to do is learn from the different types of players that he comes up against and how to get tight, how to stand back, how to, you know, just give someone a bit of space if they're that quick and try and deal with it. But I think with the Man City game, Mahrez, he just stood too far off Mahrez, and we know full well that you know, Mahrez needs a bit of physical on him, and he's out the game. But still, it was, even when Traore came on, he still got four or five crosses in the box. But like you say, we defended very, very well. Chilwell overall battled well with him and handled him as best he could. And like you say, it was one of those, when he came on, you did worry. But we kind of handled it. But he still, when you look at it and break it down, there were still some dangerous crosses coming in. And Wolves have, you know, they'll probably have a look at themselves at people getting into the box. But we were solid as a unit. And overall, you know, like I say, Ben Chilwell is learning. He's a young lad, and you know, he's had a great season. Don't get me wrong, but he'll take that as another learning process. Once you come up against someone, once you play him again, you know exactly what you need to do, and know when to go tight, when to drop off, and I think overall he did it well.
Yeah, were you impressed, Jerry, then with James Maddison? And we saw a little bit of a different side to him on Friday.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's a good point you make, because it's not what we come to sort of, you know, accustomed James with in his game. It's more in the opposite third of the pitch. But you're right, you know, at vital times he was back there helping out. And it was crucial as well, you know, because, you know, I think Traore, I think he came in once and got a shot on target, didn't he? When Schmeichel got his whole body behind it. And that sort of showed the way that, you know, Traore, if given the time and space, can go other way. But when we're talking about not being able to stop the cross, it's about limiting his options. And that's what Ben, with the help of James and Hamza when he was on the pitch, was limiting Traore's options, i.e. he had to go down the line and he had to cross, which then gives the defenders inside the box the opportunity to get themselves into a good position. So as I said there, if you can't stop the cross, limit his options. And that's what happened.
Do you know what we really missed for me? And obviously, everyone's going to agree anyway, because Ndidi, when you think about how he breaks up the play, and, you know, obviously now Mende, he's injured. Chowdhury had a big role on Sané. And I'll tell you what, he did well for the time he was on overall, because he broke a lot of play. You know, he got a lot of tackles in. Yeah. But I was looking at some stats today just on Sky Sports, and indeed he's still in the top four for tackles or something anyway. And then on another page he was top of the, you know, it's unreal. Yeah. So when you look at that, he is a key player for us. But I think Chowdhury steps in, because you look at alongside him, you've got Tielemans, you've got Maddison. So they're attacking, you know, Perez, Barnes, all want to just go forward. But at least they were prepared when we were under the cosh to sit in and do a job and help out. And that's where Maddison was helping, you know, Chowdhury in a sense. Because obviously he has to sit. Otherwise, it won't work, this system. So I think tactically we played it quite well.
Right, while we're on the subject of Hamza Chowdhury, we'll do our first weekend trivia of the evening as Jerry pulls out a wry smile. The first one then is... Hamza Chowdhury was sent off on Friday. How many red cards, though, have been shown in the Premier League this season? So across all the teams in the Premier League this season.
Does that include double yellows? Two yellows, yep. Yeah.
It's TC's turn first, isn't it, Joey?
Yeah. Right. Sounds like you've been volunteered there, Tony.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah, I don't remember there being that many red cards this year. So I'm gonna go 21.
Okay, I'll go 20.
I'll go 19.
It's 32.
Technically, Tony's
closest.
I had 20 on the off the top of my head. I thought around about 20.
Yeah, so 32, which averages just over one every game. So if most teams have played 26 times, it's just over one per game week. Yes, so 32 across that. Tony takes a point for that one in our first weekend trivia. So you can answer this question then, Tony, because when you look at teams and they go down to 10 men, sometimes you hear the old cliche, it's harder to play against 10 men than it is 11. Is that because teams naturally go more compact and more defensive?
I think, speaking from experience, Dan, I think it's just, you know, when your team goes down to 10 men, you just feel like you've just got to try and be more concentrated. You've got to try and give a little bit more, if that's at all possible. You've got to, certainly as a forward, you have to do more defensively. I mean, it was quite a few times when I was actually substituted because obviously you go down to 10 men and you make the change and you sacrifice your forward, bring on a midfielder or a defender or whatever. So that happened a few times to me. But when I was in teams where we went down to 10 men, I think you just go into that sort of 10-man mode. And, you know, in training sometimes as well, you play, like, say, 9 men against 11 as well, and the 9 men are defending. Obviously, that would mean 2 sent off, but, you know, it can be difficult when you play as the 11 trying to break down 9. If you're well organised, and, you know, Leicester are very, very well organised, you know, it is very, very difficult. And sometimes it just doesn't, the man gets sent off, and it doesn't make that much difference. You know, they're going to have more of the ball, but in terms of creating chances, it doesn't always work that way.
The timing of it, Jerry, the sending off must have been annoying for Brendan Rodgers. The timing of a sending off is annoying for a manager no matter what, but I think it was literally a minute after Dennis Pratt had come on, and he'd made that defensive midfielder type change, and then Hamza Chowdhury got sent off, so he didn't have the option of doing that. So he had to shift things around a little bit, didn't he, and ask Madison to play more,
yeah,
deeper. Role.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, going back to Tony's point, in training, especially in the modern era, you know, a lot of emphasis is put on overload training. So you get teams set up with, say, 8, so 2 banks of 4 and a goalkeeper, and they play against the opposition 11. And that's exactly why they do it, as far as trying to cope under stressful conditions.
Do you know what? That just reminds me of a training session we did with Martin O'Neill. Mm. And he'd have the back four in and he'd have everybody else on the halfway line. So you'd have your back four in as a defence and he'd give them 10 chances, about 12 of them, to attack our back four. Yeah. And he just set them out, not, you know, anywhere, and they're just attackers. And there was not, you know, if they got one out of the 10,
yeah,
I'd be surprised, you know. So it just shows you what, you know, so you said the modern era, but still did it, but in a crazy way. You look at it and, like you said, 2 banks of 4 and you leave a... If you've got a quick outlet like we had with Eski, you've still got a chance to nick a game as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd go 4-4-1 and you give it a go and see if you can do someone on the break.
Well, almost as if you guys knew what you were talking about. Our next little interview piece is Johnny Evans. After the game, he said that defences were complaining with a man less in training.
There you go.
Well done.
There's been plenty of times over the years you work on that in training, you know, overloads, you know, a lot of times in training you're working maybe a back 4, back 5, you know, against, you know, teams with a numerical advantage. And it's, you know, so a lot of the times it's, you know, it can be taxing on the legs. And but like I say, you know, there are things we work on, we practice for that, and they're enjoyable sometimes as a centre back. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people, you know, expecting the other team to score, so you're kind of fighting against the odds, and it's enjoyable when it comes off.
Well, Tony, that's exactly what we were saying, wasn't it? I think he's pretty much word for word what you've been saying about the training and about the overloads, so that in a match situation, it isn't something that springs a surprise on Leicester.
Yeah, I think it's important to work on that because, you know, you never know when you're going to go down, whether it's as a result of sending off, or you might have made all your three substitutions, someone gets injured. You know, these things can happen in a game. So it is important that you prepare for it. You know, I remember what Walshy was on about in training. I remember doing those sort of exercises, and that's exactly what it's for. But I think it's where the defenders come into their own, the likes of Johnny Evans or Ian Chu, you know, because it's even more of a challenge as a defender. I mean, as a forward, it's oh well, what a nightmare. I'm not going to get too many chances now because we're going to be defending a lot. But I think from a defensive point of view, the boys in the studio will tell you, it's something that you actually relish because you know that you're going to be put to the test a bit more and you've got to do the basics well. And that's what Leicester did.
And I'll tell you what, they held the nerve as well, in a sense of, you know, when you've got the last 10 minutes of a game like that. And you know, Jerry, sometimes it can affect people. It can.
Yeah,
they
no,
can
absolutely.
Make some wrong decisions. But they said, what I like is that resolute, strong, you know, really held out firm.
It should galvanise, especially in a tight game like that. It's different if you're 2-0 down or 3-0 down and you go down to 10 men. But in a tight game like Friday night was, where, you know, especially in the second half, where you've got to say Wolves were slightly on top in the second half. Leicester had the, you know, still had an attacking threat, mainly down the right-hand side. But in a tight game, when you go down to 10 men, it galvanises you. And then you need people like Johnny Evans, Kasper Schmeichel, Ricardo, and Soyuncu to a certain degree. You need them to step up to the plate and say, all right, boys, this is what we worked on. And here it is, right in the flesh, in real time, in game time. And that's, so then it becomes almost like second nature to a certain degree. Yes, obviously you're up against players, you don't really know how they operate, but you know how to step into that mold mentally. And then it's all about organising everyone around you, making sure everyone's in the right positions.
Johnny Evans was touching upon that in his interview, Steve. I asked him, do you enjoy those types of games when you've on the back foot a lot, and as a defender you're seeing a lot of it, you're doing a lot of defending. Was it something that you enjoyed yourself as a player?
I don't know if I could say I could enjoy it. Yeah. but
if you come off the pitch
when you're in that position,
you've got clean sheet.
Yeah, it's a fantastic feeling. Oh, without a doubt, you know, as a defender you pride yourselves on not conceding, you know, and that's the first thing. So of course, from that respect, yes, but in the situation that he is at the time, it's not great. It's not an ideal situation, but you've got to roll your sleeves up and get on with it and deal with the situation and try and be compact and just be resolute like we were. So, you know, that's why it's such a great point, I think.
Yeah, and you get the sense that Kagler Soyuncu loves defending as well, Jerry.
Well, you know what I liked it when he had a bit of a go with Traore as well. And Chilwell had a little. You know, it was great that. Yeah. I think that was just showed you that, hang on a minute, who are you? You know, and he didn't like it, Traore. He didn't like it. He saw his face. He had a bit of a chirp back at Soyuncu. And I thought, he's coming of age already, you know. And I think that was great.
It was a huge block as well, wasn't it? Just before the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, when you're needed most as a player, you have to step up. And that's exactly what, you know, Kaglar, along with Johnny, did in those damn moments of the game. They stepped up to the plate. The emphasis almost switches from a Jamie Vardy or a Madison and a Barnes and whoever else is in the attack. And the emphasis then switches completely on the defensive side of your game. And that means Johnny Evans and Soyuncu, Kasper Schmeichel come to the forefront, because the majority of play, whether you like it or not, is going to be, you know, surrounding your box. So you have to make sure that you're ready for it.
Right, before we break for the news then, let's do our second weekend trivia of the evening. So very quick, this one. Kasper Schmeichel kept a clean sheet, of course, on Friday. How many has he now got in the Premier League this season?
I'll go first then, this time. I'm going to go 9.
10.
I'll go 8.
Yes!
I think Walshy knew the answer straight away. His hand went up there like he's a kid at school.
Yeah. I was going to say 9.
Correct.
But you could have said 9.
I thought you said I'll go first.
But you could have said 9.
Oh, could I?
You could have said 9 as well.
Well,
good.
It's always nice to have a different answer.
All right, yeah.
Right, so Tony has a point and Walshy has a point.
I'm not first man out, not last man standing.
Well,
last fox
you might be later on.
Should be first fox out for me.
Still to come on Extra Time here on LCFC Radio, we will have Last Fox Standing at the end of the show. We'll also preview the Champions League games that take place this week.
You're listening to LCFC Radio.
Torrential rain from Storm Dennis has swelled rivers to exceptional levels in parts of Britain. One woman who was swept away by floodwater in Worcestershire yesterday is feared dead by police. A major incident's been declared in the county and in South Wales, Herefordshire and Shropshire. More than 400 properties have been flooded. Simon, who lives in Hereford, has been pumping out water from his basement.
First thing this morning, this was about knee deep. So definitely over Wellington's. I was swimming shorts, wading through, and we had to set up the pump just to get down to this level.
Caroline Flack's ex-fiance has broken his silence after she died by suicide last weekend. Andrew Brady claimed she was broken by the British media's witch hunt against her. A man's been charged with the murder of a six-year-old boy more than 25 years ago. Ricky Neave's body was found in woodland in Peterborough in November 1994. 38-year-old James Watson, of no fixed address, is accused of strangling him. The government's booked out a Heathrow hotel for travellers arriving to the UK with suspected coronavirus. They'll be kept in self-isolation until they receive their test results. In sport, on-loan striker Odion Ighalo could make his Manchester United debut at Chelsea in the Premier League tonight. Manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says it'll be great for the former Watford forward to be involved if he starts or comes off the bench.
I think he's probably pinching himself at times because he's now at his favourite club at the age of 30, but he's earned that one, and hopefully he'll impress us as much as so we can see him play.
Songwriter Finneas O'Connell has revealed he and sister Billie Eilish wrote the new Bond song in the bunk beds of their tour bus. He's told GQ Hype they were both sent the first 20 pages of the script to help steer the tone of the song. The new movie, No Time to Die, will be released later this year. That's the latest. I'm Daisy Steele.
Hi Leicester fans, it's Wes Morgan here.
It's Ricardo Pereira.
It's Johnny Evans.
I'm Ben Chilwell. You're listening to Extra Time on LCFC Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Extra Time here on LCFC Radio with me, Dan Bates. Steve Walsh is in the studio, as is Gerry Taggart, and former Leicester forward Tony Cotty joins us via telephone. Before the break, Tony, we were talking about going down to 10 men, and it's the first time Leicester have seen a man sent off so far in the Premier League this season. You also look at the bookings count as well. Only Liverpool have received less bookings than Leicester in the Premier League this season. And those two are quite a way away from the team that are 18th in terms of most or least yellow cards. So what does that say about this Leicester team, do you think?
Well, it shows that they're disciplined. It shows that they're defending well. There's not too much last-ditch defending and, you know, being last man and bringing someone down and getting sent off. But I think it's important. You know, I think Brendan's teams have always, there's always been that little bit of discipline. I think it comes from the manager. I get that impression that, you know, he wants to give the players license to thrill and to entertain. But I also get the impression that there's discipline and, you know, there's rules and ethics around the football club as well. And I think that sort of transfers onto the pitch. And obviously it helps when the team's playing well, when you're all in it together, you know, there's not those silly rash challenges that, you know, we do see week in, week out. We see silly sendings off and everything. So, you know, it's important. You can't keep racking up the yellow cards as well, because especially once you get up to 10 yellow cards, you can get the 2-game ban. And, you know, that it might not sound a lot, but that can make a big difference to the team if the unit's playing so well together. If you lose a key man for 2 games, that's a lot of games to miss at this stage of the season.
Yeah, it's an important point that Tony raises, Gerry, isn't it, about the suspensions thing. Mm. But you also look on the other hand at this Leicester team, and we've seen James Maddison, Hamza Chowdhury at times take a yellow card for the team when it's needed. There's also that the sense there that if they know they need to make a challenge for the team, they will.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always a time and a place for that. And that sort of, I suppose you could call it bending the rules, but everybody does it. And so why shouldn't, you know, the Leicester players not do it? Because you'd rather, sometimes you've got to take a card to the team to stop a potential goal being scored against you. So it's just one of those things that happens in the game. Everybody uses it, you know, when need it be. But I think that's a really good record, you know, to say that, you know, there's only Liverpool in the league of less bookings. You know, that's something they can be proud of. Unfortunately, us two sitting here probably can't say
you'd
the
have
same.
Had that many between
talking
you, wouldn't
to the wrong man. When you yeah, us about
exactly.
You'd have had 26 between you by this stage yeah. of the season, anyway. Right, weekend trivia number three, the final one of the evening. Jamie Vardy became only the second Leicester player to reach 200 Premier League appearances. Be too easy to ask you who the other one is. It's Muzzy, is
Muzzy,
it?
Muzzy, is it?
Yeah, but how many appearances, Premier League appearances, did he finish?
200. I'll go first.
Who
go on,
sorry?
Muzzy, is it? How Muzzy. Many Premier League appearances did he make for Leicester?
28.
228 is Jerry's
go
guess.
On, Tony.
Tony, up next.
I think I read this over the weekend. I think 233
should come on. You're joking.
Yeah, I'll go 233 as well. Is it 2323, did you say? Sorry, what did TC go?
233.
Two what?
233. 233.
Am I allowed to go that?
If you want to go for that, you can do. But it's wrong.
I have not given you. I'm going to go 234 because I know it's a few more than that. He's my partner.
Okay.
I know it's got to be more than that.
Okay, so you're saying 234 then?
No.
3-4.
Okay, well, that's Walsh's guess. It's also wrong. It's the furthest way. It's 222. So Jerry gets the point for being closest.
Well done, Jerry. I should know better. Are you sure that's... that's prime? Oh,
Premier
do you know
League
what? I'm thinking career... Oh, no.
No, yeah. Well done, well, you've all got a point in the weekend trivia. Well, she tried to squeeze another one out there.
I did. She tried to bend the rules.
But somehow still didn't manage it. Right, so I thought we were looking at it today at the top 10, the top 5 Leicester players that have made the most Premier League appearances for Leicester. Do you think between the three of you, you could certainly get a top 5?
Premier League?
Yeah, so you've got Muzzy as one, Jamie Vardy 2.
Heskey? Yeah.
Nope.
Matt Elliott
is third.
Kasper.
Kasper Schmeichel is fourth. So you're just missing one. We'll do the top five.
Big Wes.
Wes.
Wes is sixth.
Albrighton
is seventh in the list. So you're still missing number five. Have a go at guessing at home. If you're listening in, who's Leicester's fifth all-time Premier League appearance maker? It's not Wes Morgan, not Mark Albrighton.
Not Elliott, surely.
No, we've had
that, Matt Elliott. Elliott's third.
Is it one, Vardy two, Elliott three, Schmeichel four?
Heskey.
Wow. Nope. Let me know if you want a clue.
Yes.
The three of you, you all played with him.
Mm.
All three of us.
Yeah, I know it was someone from our area, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All played with him.
You all played with him, yeah.
Guppy?
No, he's eighth in the list.
Lennon?
Ninth.
Sinclair?
Nope.
No.
Midfielder?
Savage?
Yes.
Oh.
Well done, Jerry.
The legend that's sad.
Robbie Savage, number five, with 172 Premier League appearances.
Did football not exist before the Premier League?
I knew you were going to bring that one up.
No, he didn't, thanks. No. Yeah.
You were going to bring that one up for Tony, weren't you?
They didn't count.
Unbelievable.
We know that's a sore point for Tony, don't we?
It's a sore point for all of us. We all play football before the Premier League.
Right, so, but Muzzy is it, number one, of course. Walsh, you have a lot of dealings with him currently still. He's an absolute legend, isn't he, at Leicester City?
Yeah, do you know what? It's quite embarrassing because we, whenever we kind of go to some schools in Leicester or do something, we've got these clips of some of his goals and mine. Mm. And mine are like tap-ins and, you know, he's got overhead kicks from the edge of the box, one against Spurs, 30 yeah. yards out,
yeah.
like top corners. Everyone's going, wow! And then mine's a tap-in, but it's at Wembley. He's not scored at Wembley as Muzzy, so that's what I say.
He should have scored.
So he's not scored a winger.
He missed an absolute sitter in the cup final.
Did he?
Oh,
I can't remember.
He screwed it wide from about 6 yards. He should have buried the game.
Which what a play. Tranmere one?
The Tranmere game, yeah.
He was, you know, he was special. He was.
Yeah,
he was
top player.
Unbelievable. His tenacity, his energy, his braveness in a tackle. He got through people. Oh, what a player.
What was he like, Tony, to play in front of? These two played behind him, of course. You played in front of him.
Well, I think it, from my point of view, it was just one of those that when he had the ball, you knew if you made a run, he'd spot your run, he'd put it where you wanted it. And you know, I agree with the boys, he could do a bit of everything, really. You know, I think technically, he's certainly, if not the best technically in our squad, certainly one of the best in the squad. Gary Parker was technically a good player, but I think Muzzy probably would give him a good run for his money. And the other thing I liked about him as well was the fact that, you know, he was released by Chelsea, wasn't he, as a kid? And, you know, he could have given up. You see so many players released and they give up, don't they, you know? And, you know, he comes to Leicester and he's done absolutely fantastic, Muzz. Played in the World Cup and everything. It was a tremendous
player.
We could
do with him now. Yeah, that's the type of player. He'd be immense.
Yeah, is it in this team would be something to watch, that's for sure. Right, we'll move on then. Tony, tonight, Chelsea against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. That's set up, isn't it, to be a really good game?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm gonna have a little watch of this one tonight. I think from Chelsea's point of view, they're in front of United. I think six points clear of them at the moment. So, you know, they'll be looking at it thinking, you know, we can't afford to lose this one. But this is not the Manchester United teams of old. You know, I think if Chelsea go about it in the right way, if they take the game to Man United, you know, especially with Rashford out, I do expect a Chelsea victory in this game, and you know that will help them to, you know, cement that Champions League spot, which is obviously what Chelsea want and Chelsea need. And you know, I'm pleased that Frank Lampard's having such a good season as manager and playing all the young kids, to be honest with you.
From a Leicester point of view, Gerry, they'll probably be hoping that Manchester United can pick up at least a point tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you looked at this game as a neutral, you'd probably say a point again, a draw, but. It's one of those games I can see it going. I can see the long odds winning it. So I don't know who's got the long odds tonight. It's probably Manchester United.
But
I could see United actually winning this tonight.
Yeah, do you know what, Gerry? I was just thinking maybe they can. They're quite strong. But I'd maybe a nil-niller, but I think if anyone's going to score, I think it'll be, I don't know.
It's obviously a bigger game for Manchester United than it is for Chelsea.
You just feel that they can't go much worse than what things are.
No, I'm not saying that is, but it's one of those. I'm not saying it's a coupon buster, but it's one of them games where tonight I can see a result that not everybody would expect tonight.
And Chelsea have dropped a lot of points as well,
haven't
they?
Exactly.
They've not been consistent at home. Yeah. They've had some poor performances.
And I'm just wondering if the introduction of this new guy, Fernandes, has just give them a little bit of extra oomph. One player doesn't make a team, but one player can change the mindset of a whole squad. And from what I've seen of this new lad coming in, he does look a good addition to Man U's team. And he's the type of player that takes a bull by the horns and runs with it. And that could help the rest of the Manchester United squad.
And Manchester United won at Chelsea earlier in the season in the League Cup, albeit it was a Marcus Rashford-inspired Manchester United that evening. Of course, Chelsea and Manchester United will be vying for a Champions League spot come the end of this season. But we'll talk about the Champions League now as well. It's the quarterfinals that take place, some this week, some next week. I'll just read out the eight fixtures that are. So it's Dortmund, PSG, Atletico Madrid against Liverpool, Atalanta, Valencia, Spurs, Leipzig, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Napoli, Barcelona, Real Madrid against Manchester City and Lyon against Juventus. So the first four I mentioned there, Dortmund, PSG, Atletico, Liverpool, Atalanta, Valencia and Spurs, Leipzig take place this week. Any of those spring to mind? Or
I'll tell you what, Liverpool at the minute, you look at Madrid, they're struggling this year. Looking at the league table anyway, I've not obviously seen any games, but you've got Liverpool are looking like they're going to do some damage, aren't they, to anyone? So you just can't back against them at the moment, can you?
No, absolutely.
I think the Spurs game is interesting, Dan, because obviously Spurs, you know, they've no Harry Kane at the moment. Leipzig are having a good season as well.
Yeah, they are, I think they'll get beat, Spurs. I do, I really...
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really tough... I mean, they had obviously had a good season in the Champions League last year, Spurs, but that's a tough game against Leipzig, even though it's a home game.
Do you think that's one, Tony, that on paper when the draw was made, maybe the Spurs fans might have been relatively happy with that because it wasn't one of the so-called European giants, but... The more they've looked at it, the more they've seen how well Leipzig are doing this season. That actually is a really tough draw for them.
Yeah, it is. And of course, losing Harry Kane as well. And don't forget the draw, Dan's always made in December, isn't it? So in December, you'll go, oh, what a great draw. By the time it comes round to the middle of February, a lot can change in football, as we know. So I think there'll be quite a few Spurs fans, you know, little bit worried about the result that's going to pan out this week, you know. But I think from Spurs' point of view, I think if they can stop Leipzig scoring, I think we always used to say in a two-legged game, you know, if you're the home team, just try not to let them get that away goal, and then that makes obviously makes a big difference.
Yeah, do you think, again, Jerry, in football, you hear you always want the second leg at home, so you can, when the game's tough at home, you can do it. But in that first leg, if a team comes to where you are and scores a couple of goals, that puts so much pressure then on you going away, doesn't it? But conversely, if you can keep a clean sheet at home, if you then in the second leg can nick a goal or nick a couple of goals, surely that gives you a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, and that's the mindset. So you've got two different types of mindsets going into both games. And obviously for Spurs being at home in the first leg, then we know what Mourinho's like on his defensive side of the game. So the emphasis will be on Spurs not conceding. He will take a 0-0 draw at home to Leipzig. Make no bones about that, because he knows, come the second leg, the onus is then on Leipzig, who then become the team under pressure because they haven't scored an away goal. And they then, how do they win the tie in 90 minutes at Leipzig? And the only way they can do that is by taking the game to Tottenham. And that's where teams like Tottenham, you would expect, with the pace that they have, and, you know, the team and the ability with Song and Ali and players like that, may have an advantage. So it's two different types of mindsets with both games.
I think Tottenham, they have to go there with something. You know, that'd be the best scenario if you can get there with one or two goals up. Then you've got.
Yeah, obviously, chance, obviously. But you don't want them.
Difficult for them.
You don't want them to squash them. Saying they were taking a 1-0 or a 2-0 going to Leipzig's like, you know, pennies from heaven. But, you know, the reality is that, as you said, Mourinho will know that Leipzig are a strong outfit.
They're a point behind Bayern Munich at the minute. You know, no games in hand, but they're a point behind them. So they must be a decent team, you know.
So if they can keep it, I tell you, most teams will take, who play at home first, will take a 0-0. As long as they don't concede at home. Apart from the obvious, the big boys, the big three or four that you're talking about. But a lot of teams here are trying to just, you know, edge their way till the next round. And I put Spurs in that bracket at the minute because they are going through a few ups and downs. They would take a 0-0 against a Leipzig and then get them over there and try and hit them on the counter.
Tony, I know you can't see too much Champions League football because you're often working Championship games, aren't you? I'm sure, or Football League games anyway. But Dortmund against PSG, that one's set up to potentially be a really good Champions League tie. We know that PSG don't really have to worry too much about the league form, so they can throw everything at the Champions League. But in Germany, that the title race is looking very exciting. Dortmund are involved in that. That one there, Dortmund-PSG, could be a really good tie.
I've got to say, Dan, I've not been to Dortmund's home ground, but apparently it's one of the best grounds in Europe in terms of the wall and the atmosphere. So it's going to be a really difficult game for PSG. I think over the last sort of 2, 3, 4 years, they've been sort of getting closer and closer, PSG. I'm not sure whether they're good enough to win it this year. I'm really not sure. But, you know, that's the aim for the club. Like you say, I mean, the league's a bit of a procession, isn't it, in France? They win it easily. So, you know, they've really got to have a go at the Champions League. But that's going to be a tough game in Dortmund, no doubt about that.
Yes, well, we'll do our around the leagues now, because we've been briefly mentioning title races, etc., in other countries, and PSG also feature in it.
Around the leagues on Extra Time.
Lazio are 1 point behind Juventus at the top of Serie A in Italy after they came from behind to beat Inter Milan 2-1. Former Manchester United man Ashley Young scored his first goal for Inter in that one, but they couldn't hold on. Real Madrid were held at home by Celta Vigo after former Barcelona man Denis Suarez produced a brilliant through ball for the away side to create a late equaliser in that 2-2 draw. Meanwhile, Barcelona won 2-1 at home, meaning there's now a point separating the top two there. And finally, Amiens scored a 91st minute equaliser to make it 4-4 against top club PSG at the weekend. Before that, the Parisians had come from 3-0 down to lead 4-3, but the thrilling encounter ended, as I said, 4-all, and 17-year-old defender Tanguy Kouyaté scored two of the goals for PSG in that one there. So two goals from defence, Jerry, for a 17-year-old playing for a team like PSG.
Watch your space, eh?
Watch this space.
Absolutely. What more can you say? That's a dream start to his career, isn't it?
Do you think it's a good place to come through for a young player at PSG, particularly maybe a defender? Because as Tony was saying, the league pretty much wrapped up already, as it is at this stage every year.
Well, there's probably a reason why he was playing, i.e. Champions League's on tomorrow night. So they might have rested a few players, PSG, for that game. And so he's been given his chance and, you know, he's come up with the goose. But there's no good and bad place that, you know, to be bought through. If you're good enough, it doesn't really matter how, you know, young or old you are. It's all about getting that opportunity. And PSG, obviously, given the opportunity. And, you know, he's obliged superbly well, hasn't he, with two goals?
He certainly has. In that Barcelona one, or the Real Madrid run, rather, former Barcelona man Denis Suarez, it was a brilliant assist against Real Madrid, obviously. So, Tony, you'll have scored plenty of goals. I think, well, you did score a lot against Tottenham, obviously, from growing up and being a West Ham boy. That must have felt good, even when you weren't playing for West Ham.
Yeah, no, I mean, the local derbies are the ones to score the goals in. And, you know, always enjoyed that. And certainly, you know, scoring for, as a West Ham boy, scoring against Spurs was a dream come true. Start, debut for me. So that was great. But, I mean, the Barcelona-Real Madrid games are fantastic games. Must be wonderful games to play in as well. So there's plenty of, you know, incredible derbies around Europe, and that's certainly one of them.
Talking of the 4-all for PSG, Jerry, on the 22nd of February 2004, so on this week, 15, 16 years ago, was Spurs 4, Leicester 4?
That was my last game for Leicester.
Was it?
Yeah.
Ever?
Well, you'll never forget that.
Yeah. That was my last game, God, absolutely. Yeah.
What, through injury?
Cracking game then.
No. Just
your last game. Conceded four goals and that was it.
Fell out with the manager.
Well, Mickey Adams. Easy, it? Or was it Mickey?
Yeah.
Not Tater Peeler then.
Yeah.
No.
Not Tater Peeler, no.
So you were part of a defence that conceded four goals at White Hart Lane and that was it?
Absolutely.
And the goals were
It's gone out with a bang there.
Well,
Jerry.
I've got to say, I best just leave it there. We'll not go too in depth into that.
Yeah, I thought we'd have been able to have a nice little conversation about that game.
You know, basically, just staying on the Champions League, you know, you look at the English football and where we are, you know, we dominated it last year. You feel again that, you know, Barcelona, they don't fancy playing against the teams like Liverpool, like Man City, like, you know, Spurs. You don't know. I mean, this is where we're at the minute. I think football in Spain is, at the minute, Barcelona aren't right. You know, they're having fallouts with Messi and the board, and Real Madrid don't seem at it. You know, you look at German football, Dortmund, you know, Bayern Munich started shocking and they've turned it around. You don't know where they are, but still, I just feel that it could be an English win again.
Do you think it'll be an English win?
Yeah. Walsh, how quick has that changed round, though? Because when Leicester won the Premier League, they played in the Champions League the following year and they was the only team in the quarterfinal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So what a turnaround in 3 or 4 years.
It is.
You know, what we had last year with the English final in the Europa League and the Champions League. So it really has changed around really quickly.
Massively.
In 2 or 3 years.
Right, I'll put you all on the spot. It's an easy time to do it. We're just about to do the last 16 of the Champions League, or they're just about to play those games. One-word answer from the three of you. Who do you think will win the Champions League this season? We'll start with Tony.
I don't like to say this, but I'm going to have to say Liverpool.
Yeah, I've got to go with that, definitely. They're too good this year.
Liverpool.
Three votes all around for Liverpool to win the Champions League. That's before a ball is kicked in the last 16 games. Right, this time next week on Extra Time, we'll preview the second load of last 16 games that take place next week. But we're coming to the end of the show, which means one thing and one thing only. We've got to do Last Fox Standing.
Just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did?
A little insight into how our guests feel about Last Fox Standing. During that little break, Jerry had a big smile on his face. He was excited and ready for it. I turned to Walshy, rolled his eyes at me.
First Fox out.
I don't know what Tony's like at home. I'm sure he's worried.
Oh, he's Tony's good at quizzes and everything. He's clever, I'm telling you.
Right, so Last Fox Standing, for those of you that have not heard it before, there's a little theme that's been delivered to us in the studio. I don't know what it is. I'll read it out and the four of us will all take it in turns to answer a question on that theme. If we get it wrong, we're out. So the Last Fox Standing is the winner. Right, the theme is, because tonight's Monday Night Football sees Chelsea take on Manchester United, so excluding players under the age of 21 who do not need to be registered, name the players currently registered to play for Chelsea and Manchester United in the Premier League. You look confused, Walsh.
Yeah, I am a bit.
So, the players that are registered to play for Manchester United and Chelsea.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the excluding players under the age of 21. They don't have to be registered. Okay, right.
Well, come on, get
but
it
we
right
can
then
say players that are under the age of 21 that play for them. Right, and we'll start with you, Walsh.
We'll go De Gea.
Who's next?
Jerry, please.
Kepa.
Tony.
Dan, I didn't even hear the question. All I can hear is Elton John.
No, don't tell him. Don't tell
him.
Sorry,
Tony. Right. Okay. So all the players currently registered to play for Chelsea and Manchester United in the Premier League.
Registered to play for Chelsea and Man United.
Yeah. In the Premier League.
And I didn't even hear what the two boys said.
And the two boys have said Kepa and De Gea.
Okay, I'll go Marcus Rashford then.
I'll say Caballero.
Well,
Pogba.
Martial.
Right, Seb Fred.
Dan James.
Harry Maguire.
Good one. Phil Jones.
Are we doing Chelsea players as well, Dan? Sorry.
Chelsea and
Manchester United.
All right, Sammy Abraham then.
Mason Mount.
Rudiger. What? Oh, Mount.
Mason Mount is wrong because he's not registered. Okay. So, excluding players under the age of 21. So, I'm out for that one. Go on, we'll see you next.
Rudiger.
Aspilicueta.
Pedro.
Lindelof.
William.
Tomori.
Drink water. Oh, thought it would have been registered. No? Oh, get
that. Place for Aston Villa.
Luke Shaw.
Christiansen.
Mata.
Struggling.
Time faults here, TC.
Really, mate. Have we done Aspilicueta?
Yeah.
You're out.
No, we'll give him.
He's lost.
Quickly, though, Tony. 5 seconds.
Brandon Williams, probably too young.
Unlucky, TC.
Jerry takes it.
Well done, Jerry.
To be fair, Tony, I didn't have another one of Malacarilla.
Good poker face from Jerry there, staying quiet, acting confident.
I'm trying to get the left back for Chelsea, the big tall geezer.
Alonso.
Yeah.
Drinkwater, desperation, that was, wasn't it? Desperation.
Still claiming that he was registered, doesn't play for Chelsea. All right, perfect. Well done, Jerry. You've won Last Fox Standing. It was also a draw between you three in the weekend trivia as well. So Jerry takes the crown for the trivia section this evening. That's it for Extra Time this evening here on LCFC Radio. Don't forget, we'll be back for Matchday -2 on Thursday ahead of the game with Manchester City on Saturday. But thank you very much to our guests,
Cheers,
Tony Cotting,
Cheers,
on the telephone, and Steve Walsh and Jerry Taggart. Have
Pleasure.
A fantastic week.